I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Bob Ferguson has officially played all his cards against Dave Reichert, and he has a losing hand. Plus, I encourage Semi Bird to take a page out of Eminem's playbook, and the Community Bail Fund has sprung all 46 airport protesters out of jail, and now it's broke. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. It's official. Bob Ferguson has officially played all of his cards against Dave Reichert, every single one. And lucky for us, now that we've seen his hand, it's only April, which is sort of nice, we know that he has a losing hand. After trying for months to fearmonger voters against supporting Dave Reichert, trying to convince them that Dave Reichert will somehow erode their abortion rights, and that didn't stick. Well, the Bob Ferguson campaign turned to what they see as the next best thing, the next shiny object, and that is taking a clip from Dave Reichert a couple months ago and speaking to Republicans in Pierce County, where he shared his personal religious beliefs on marriage.
I was raised as a Christian, and marriage is between a man and a woman.
Marriage is between a man and a woman, he says. I was raised a Christian. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, when Bob Ferguson initially put that out, that was the only little clip that he had of Dave Reichert. And immediately I thought, well, he had to have taken that out of context. I'm sure that Dave Reichert went on to say, but I would never, you know, change the laws in Washington State or anything. And Bob Ferguson did provide a longer clip.
Number one, my wife is a woman and I'm a man. You're a woman and I'm a man. There's only man and woman. I was raised as a Christian, and marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't believe that. Thank you.
So in fairness to Bob Ferguson, the clip is in context. In fact, it was sort of odd because a woman in the audience, her name is Dawn Land, she had actually asked Dave Reichert a simple question, what is a woman? So it really had nothing to do with the issue of traditional marriage versus same-sex marriage. He talked about what he believes a woman is, like a woman is his wife, or a woman is Dawn Land, the woman who asked the question, and then he went into his Christian values and his belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. So I saw that yesterday, and Nicole will know I was sitting here and I was like, gosh, that's such an unforced error. And Bob Ferguson is going to use that until the cows come home. He's going to play that clip over and over on social media. He's going to put it in every single commercial. And I was having a little bit of a meltdown. Is that fair, Nicole?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was having a little bit of a meltdown yesterday. And I have since slept. And now I feel just fine about it. And here's why. Now, to be clear, I would never support a political candidate of any party who would seek to erode the right of people to marry who they love. I believe wholeheartedly in same-sex marriage protections. So I would never support a candidate who would get into office and want to wind that back. But here I am today, still very much in support of Dave Reichert, still very much endorsing his campaign. So why? Well, that's because I realize that Dave Reichert's position on marriage is a religious one. It's not a political position. It's a religious position. In fact, it's a fairly common religious position. Now, Christians are certainly not a monolith, but there are a lot of Christians around the world who today still believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Support for same-sex marriage among Hispanic Catholics is dropping, according to the Public Religion Research Institute's annual American Values Atlas, which was released last month. They reported that Hispanic Catholics show the most decline in their support for same-sex marriage since 2022, from 75% to 68%. In fact, more white Catholics support same-sex marriage than Hispanic Catholics or Black Protestants. So while it might be easy for Bob Ferguson to attack a white Christian for his personal beliefs on same-sex marriage, religious people of color actually support traditional marriage at a much higher rate. And I haven't even mentioned Muslims, who, according to the same survey, only have 40% support for same-sex marriage. And it left me asking myself yesterday, would Bob Ferguson attack a Hispanic Catholic or a Black Protestant or a Muslim for their beliefs on traditional marriage? I don't think so. And certainly that's a hypothetical, but do you really believe that if there were a candidate for governor who was a Hispanic Catholic, who was a Muslim, who was a Black Protestant, who supported traditional marriage, do you really think that Bob Ferguson would come out with an attack ad against them? I simply don't believe that's the case. I believe that since Dave Reichert is a white Christian, Bob Ferguson believes that will go over very well. And make no mistake, the ad that Bob Ferguson's campaign put out yesterday absolutely painted Dave Reichert as pure evil for his religious beliefs on this particular issue. Here is a little clip of it.
Dave Reichert should be ashamed of himself.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
What he said is exactly who Dave Reichert is.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Washington can't afford to send someone like Congressman Reichert with bigoted, homophobic views to the governor's office.
Now, it's worth pointing out that many leading Democrats didn't even support same-sex marriage until the last decade or so. In fact, I supported same-sex marriage my entire life, but I supported same-sex marriage before Joe Biden, before Hillary Clinton, before Barack Obama. In fact, when Barack Obama first ran for the presidency, he did not support same-sex marriage. Did Democrats seek to vilify that position? Did Bob Ferguson seek to paint Barack Obama as some evil, bigoted, homophobic person? No, of course not. Democrats put him in the White House. And so it certainly makes you wonder why they would feel so comfortable when they certainly wouldn't vilify other religions, Muslims, Protestants, when they didn't vilify members of their own party, standard bearers of their own party, for having that view in the past decade. It certainly raises the question as to why Bob Ferguson would feel so comfortable vilifying a white Christian for a pretty common religious belief around marriage. Now, I mentioned earlier that I am a fervent supporter of same-sex marriage, and I absolutely would not support a political candidate who would want to walk those protections back. I don't believe that Dave Reichert has any interest in walking those protections back. Just as he has no interest in walking back the protections that Washington voters passed decades ago for abortion access in this state. His campaign sent out a tweet in response to this flurry of activity from the Bob Ferguson campaign yesterday. Desperate Bob Ferguson is a politician who wants a promotion, and it's fueling fear and lies to get it. Dave Reichert has spent his career fighting fear and saving lives, and that's the difference. Dave's statement, "Let me be clear, I will not take any steps as governor to restrict same-sex marriage. Every individual has the right to decide who they choose to marry. People have free will. It's their body, their life, their belief system. I would put my life on the line and have to protect the rights of others and their freedoms. I don't want to run anyone's personal life. I'm running to lead the Washington state government, to keep our communities safe, help our neighbors in need, and bring businesses back to our state." If I believed for one second that Dave Reichert didn't mean that, I would rescind my endorsement of his campaign. But I believe with every fiber of my being that Dave Reichert has no interest in overturning the will of voters. He said that time and time again. And I believe that these issues are being used as false flags to distract the voters of Washington from the crises, the clear and present crises that we're facing right now. Clear and present crises that Bob Ferguson has contributed to, that the Democratic Party, with its total control, has contributed to and made worse. Sitting here today, what's more at risk? What's more urgent? Abortion that's codified into state law that's not going to change? Same-sex marriage that is the law in Washington state and is not going to change? Or is it a homeless crisis that's getting worse by the day? Is it an overdose crisis that is leaving people dead on our streets and our sidewalks and in our homes? Is it the fact that a working class family with two incomes can't afford to buy a house? Is it the fact that the working poor is absolutely buried under increased taxes that are squandered by a single party who takes your money and then dishes it out to their political cronies and allies who do nothing but waste it? These are false flags It is important for every single Washingtonian to recognize that and to make sure that their friends and their family recognize that. Because our state is at stake, the livability of our state, the success of our state. Bob Ferguson can't run a campaign on the merits. He can't run a campaign on the merits of his ideas. He can't run a campaign on his track record because it is abysmal. He can only run a campaign on fear. And that is what we've seen from his campaign for the last 6 months. So as I said, Dave Reichert's position on traditional marriage and same-sex marriage, it's a religious belief. It's not a political position. It only becomes a political position when you seek to foist it on other people, which he's been clear he has, one, no intention to do, and two, he couldn't do it even if he wanted to. You would have to have a universal change in the power dynamic in the state of Washington and a universal change in the electorate where voters would allow that to happen, which is simply not realistic. And Bob Ferguson knows that. So there it is. We've seen all the cards. He only has two of them, maybe three. Trump, who Dave Reichert doesn't even like very much. Abortion, which Dave Reichert says he has no interest in changing. And same-sex marriage, which is the law in Washington state and is going to be the law in Washington state probably forever. He's played his cards. He has a losing hand. The man is desperate. And it's up to us to force him to run a campaign that consists of him defending what he's done and defending his ideas. And if he's forced to run a campaign like that, I am telling you, he will lose. All right, coming up next, a trio of stories I want to get to, and just a quick little aside on the story we just discussed. First, I have talked about my success on the East Side Weight Loss Clinic program. So excited for my Florida vacation next week, end of next week. I'm still going to be here next week. You know why? Because I feel great. I don't have that pre-vacation panic that I had for so many years where I'm like, oh, I gotta starve myself for 2 weeks so I look good in my bathing suit. No, I look good now. I told Nicole I'm gonna post a bathing suit pic. She doesn't believe me, but it's gonna happen. Uh-huh. Next weekend, okay?
Okay.
I mean, it's not gonna be like a skimpy bathing suit.
Okay.
It's gonna be elegant and classy.
Of course.
Right? Yeah, you can't give the goods away. I have a husband. So it's not, I'm running an only fans over here. But I feel good because I've lost 40 pounds on the East Side Weight Loss Clinic program. And to me, it's an easy plan to follow. As long as you follow it, a lot of patients lose 20 to 30 pounds in a month or two. You could be looking and feeling better by summer. So schedule your free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. One other thing I want to note about this Bob Ferguson desperation thing. It was so orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
Shockingly so. So this video was taken by some infiltrator at a Pierce County Republican event who then gave it to this is like 2 months ago. So they're clearly planning and plotting sort of behind the scenes what to do with it. So first of all, Bob Ferguson puts it out yesterday. And did you notice on all his tweets about this, he shut off replies. He shut off replies because people would have said exactly what I just said on my show. And he couldn't have that. He needs the fear mongering to stand on its own. He needs the mischaracterization to stand on its own. God forbid you have people in the replies saying, hey, but, you know, that's his personal religious belief. He already said he has no plans to do anything with that in Washington state. Can't have that. You got to have the lies and the fearmongering standing on its own. So multiple tweets about this. He shut off replies. Yeah, that'll really be a good, transparent governor who's interested in hearing what the constituents of the state of Washington have to say. But then I got to say, so this comes out. Bob tweets it out. And then the Seattle Times, within minutes, sends out a 1,300-word article about it. A 1,300-word article, complete with reactions and quotes and mm-hmm. all of this. They'd clearly seen the entirety of the video. They described it in there. So that's a clear coordination. There's no other way. There's no other way to spin that. The Bob Ferguson campaign sends out their political ad. Within minutes, the Seattle Times has a 1,300-word article. And I would say it was fair if you actually read into it, but mm-hmm. the headline in the first two lines, and somebody said it's behind a paywall. So the first two paragraphs, which are about like, oh, Dave Reichert hates gay people, And then it's like, oh, paywalls. You can't hear his reaction to it. And you can't hear anything else. So that happens. And then Bob Ferguson rounded up every gay friend he has, every gay lawmaker, to send out a nearly identical tweet about how dangerous it is. So it's this totally coordinated effort. No replies allowed. And then also, let's get the Seattle Times in on it. Where it's like, Seattle Times, where is your 1,300-word article about all the lies that Bob Ferguson has told about his public safety record? Mm-hmm. Where's your 1,300-word article on him all of a sudden saying he didn't support the rollback of police pursuits? Where's your 1,300-word article on all the absolute failures in transparency that his office has had? It's very strange. 1,300-word article on a 2-second clip from Dave Riker? Got it. It's in the can. We've coordinated with the campaign. Cancel your Seattle Times subscription and give the money to us. Is that fair? So, yeah, I just thought that was very, very interesting. But, hey, it's only April. Now we know every card has been played in Bob Ferguson's playbook, and they all suck. And so we're going to move forward from here. Okay, gas is sky high. I have a couple of stories I want to get to really quickly. So we're the third in the country right now. Yay! We're always around there, right? Three, two, and then occasionally after cap and trade, one.
Yeah, it just depends. Sometimes Alaska creeps up a little bit. Sometimes we're like fifth. But we're always in the top five,
We're number three. So AAA average nationally, $3.60. AAA average in Washington State, $4.70. And I've already, around here, it's been mostly $5. So I've already hit that. It's like costing me $100 to fill up my gas tank.
And it's only April.
Yeah, and I know exactly how much it costs because, like, I let my gas get down to virtually nothing before I fill it up, which drives Mike bananas. If I have, like, if it says 46 miles still empty, I'm like, oh, I can make it home.
Yeah.
When I get home.
Well, so I go based on where the cheapest gas is. So I'm always trying to make it to the cheapest gas place.
Yeah, I mean, one of these times I'm going to run out of gas. But another Seattle Times knock. The Seattle Times probably hates us. That's okay. So they had this article that was sent out. Gas prices are rising in Washington. How to save pennies at the pump. Nicole, you read this. Did anything in there about the Climate Commitment Act?
Not a mention.
Not a mention about why that's contributing and the high taxes that we have. Nothing. It says gas prices across the nation and in Washington resumed an upward climb this past week after holding steady at the turn of April. Along with escalating crude oil costs, pumps are facing pressure from seasonal factors. Refinery maintenance, the switch to summer gasoline, and rising demand. For those looking to cut down on fuel use and make the most out of each drop, AAA has some fuel savings tips. Hey, just don't drive your car. That was the advice they had. If you don't want it stolen, just leave it in the garage.
Right.
Hey, you want to save money on gas? Just don't drive. This is easy stuff.
That's pretty much what they got. I mean, there's a bunch of tips, but I just wanted to point out none of them were
There's a ton of tips, which are actually some of them stupid because it's like ownership, maintenance, and repairs. When buying a car, look for models that offer the best fuel economy. Like, that's not going to help a lot of people now. Just because fuel prices are high, I'm not going to go out and buy a new car with better fuel economy. Mm-hmm. Maintain your car according to the manufacturer's recommendations, regular service. So it's like all their suggestions are things that'll cost money.
Plan ahead to multiple errands at once and so you don't have to go home first. Or, okay, who doesn't do that already?
Or here's a tip. Vote different.
Yeah.
Vote different. I laugh when they always, you know, and again, it's not just the Climate Commitment Act that leads to higher gas prices. We have a big chunk of our cost per gallon goes to taxes in the state of Washington. That's why California, Washington, we always have higher gas prices. We have a huge gas tax. And then you add on the increase from the Climate Commitment Act. And so I love it when, you know, they want to paint it as, oh, well, everyone's sort of going up or everyone's trending down. And it's like, yeah, but we'd be even lower. We'd be lower without those things. We'd be lower without the CCA. And so then we wouldn't be looking at, you know, $5 a gallon. We might be looking at $4.70, $4.60 a gallon, which is still really high because there's all the other taxes layered on top of that. So the very best tip, if you want to pay less at the pump, is
vote yes.
Vote yes. Pay less. Vote yes. Pay less. All right, another quick update. All 46 protesters arrested outside SeaTac for blocking the road. Anti-Israel protesters have been bailed out. Any idea who bailed them out? The Northwest Bail Fund. Although, there's some good and some bad news here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from our friend Ari Hoffman. He says, the notorious Northwest Community Bail Fund bailed out the 86 Hamasniks that blocked the freeway to SeaTac. But then here's the good part. According to Linda Bevis, the wife of Ed Mast, who was arrested on the freeway during the I-5 blockade, The fund was drained. Love it. Oh, you had to bail out all the Hamas supporters. So now the fund is drained and you can't bail out accused killers and people who go on a month later to kill someone else. What a bummer. So you heard it there. The Northwest Community Bail Fund has been drained to bail out the Hamas sympathizers, which means that our community might be a little more safe in the weeks
ahead. Absolutely.
Gotta love that. I have to play this one. Did we do a video of this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. I love Jeremy Harris with Como, one of the good mainstream journalists that's left. So this is genius. You have no idea how creative this is when it comes to how the media figures out how we're going to cover this story in a unique way. So obviously they covered the blockade and the 46 protesters, but they're like, we want to try to talk to some of them. So you know where Jeremy Harris went? Genius. Ah, what a legend. He goes to the tow truck yard. Because all of these, because, you know, the tow truck was on the news. You saw what the tow truck company was. And these people had used cars initially to block the road so they could set up their little human chain. And so Jeremy Harris, the next day, is like, well, they're going to want to get their cars out of the impound. So he goes and sets up outside the tow yard.
This inconvenienced thousands of people. They'd like some answers about why you guys blocked the road. And while the people who were picking up these cars used in the airport shutdown protest wouldn't talk to us, the protesters who were arrested and charged for Monday's demonstration will have to answer in court.
The two charges that they'll be failing is disorderly conduct and failure to disperse.
I mean, how amazing is that? That is super creative. Most people be like, oh, I'll see them in court when they're there or something. No, I'm going to go and wait outside the tow yard. There was this one clip where they all come in these Antifa, fully covered faces and hoods and as if they're not proud of what they did, which is so funny.
I know. And then they're very, they want to make a scene, but then they don't want to talk about it. No. Interesting.
Yeah. It goes back to even the May Days. You'd have all these like people out there and you'd go up to them and say, hey, do you want to share what you're protesting for? No. So, okay, that's fine. You don't have to. But I just love the creativity of going to the tow yard. And one of them was telling the tow yard employees, can't you close the gate? Like to keep Jeremy Harris out. Oh, it was just genius. I absolutely love that. That was fantastic. So Jeremy Harris, I criticize the media, but you get exemptions from that mostly. You and maybe a couple other people. All right, I have encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. Why? You could save money. And with all these taxes that were buried under, who couldn't save money? We all need insurance. Having a broker to handle your insurance needs for you takes so much stress away from the process of making sure you have the right insurance, making sure that you have the best price for the insurance that you need. Dave Taylor is the CEO of First Mark.
I really want to encourage folks, don't try to navigate this current market by yourself. I believe you need to get with a broker. Okay, obviously I'd love them to come to First Mark, but at a minimum they need to be with a broker that works with numerous carriers that can give them the advice they need and really help them navigate this right now because it's complicated.
Yeah, and I've, you know, we're moving into a new studio. I need different types of insurance. I had a nice phone call with First Mark about that. And they're so good at just making you understand what you need, what you don't need, setting your expectations, and then going out and doing all the work for you. And it's free. You never pay First Mark anything. So it's just such a no-brainer. Casey and Covington told us, I want to thank you for telling us to check out First Mark. I did the First Mark Challenge a couple weeks ago after receiving a ridiculous renewal statement for my insurance. We made the switch to policies with First Mark and walked away with a slightly better homeowner's insurance for the same price, and they managed to save us 37% on our auto quote. So what are you waiting for? FirstMarkInsurance.com. Take the First Mark Challenge today. All right, just the latest example of the homeless industrial complex and the absolute scam that it is. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. So there's a couple layers to this story that I think are both equally relevant. So you have the homeless industrial complex where you get all these contractors and feel-good entities that get these big fat taxpayer checks and squander them and either don't have any results to show for the money that they've spent or, as you're about to find here, misspend the money entirely, which I view as theft. And then you have this element of what I really feel like is the result of 2020 and the racial justice movement and DEI gone wrong. In 2020, when, you know, CHOP happened and the takeover of the six blocks in Seattle, the city of Seattle was like, let's just bribe these people into leaving by giving them fat government contracts. We saw that with the guy, the former pimp who got the contract to be the street czar. he was going to go in. He got this lucrative contract to connect gangs to police. Never did anything. They didn't renew his contract. But there's a lack of willingness from the government to do what they should be doing with every government contract, auditing it, making sure that there are clear standards in place. We give you this much money. Here are our expectations. We are going to check on the back end to make sure the money was used to good effect, to make sure the money was spent how it was supposed to be spent. So there seems like a complete lack of willingness to do that in the homeless industrial complex sphere, but then also anywhere where DEI might have been a factor or where people of color are managing contracts. That's just the truth. That is what we've seen. Even with after 2020, how some of those contracts, it was clear that there was, you know, misfeasance. The state and the state auditor and the government entities in charge of doling out that money were completely uninterested in talking about it, in investigating it, because, oh, that's racism. You can't do that. So anyway, this story from Crosscut and it's Cascade PBS. This has all of that wrapped into one, all of those problems in one article. Here's the headline. Washington homeless youth program closes after contractor misspent $330,000. Officials ordered a lobbying firm to pay back money meant for state-funded Lifeline pilot hotline that connects at-risk young people to services. $330,000. Lifeline abruptly suspended its cash assistance and service referral options in early December. The program's website now requires a password to access and emails to its intake specialists and case manager bounce back. Its phone line is dead too. In mid-November, and we talked about this element of it at the time, the Office of Homeless Youth concluded that SDMC had misspent $331,000 and would need to return the money. That amount totaled all of the flexible funding and gift card amounts for which SDMC had billed Commerce in the first half of 2023, minus the documented several thousand dollars spent on clients. So again, only a couple thousand actually spent to help at-risk youth, documented that, $330,000 misspent. So let's dive into this deeper. SDM Consulting's founder and CEO, Samuel Martin, missed a payment that was scheduled to be paid back. Commerce then put Martin on a revised payment plan with the first installment of $19,000 due in mid-February, and they threatened to file suit. So it's like, dude, you misspent this money, which is theft. I don't know why you're going into this payment plan. You stole the money.
I know, when they say misspent.
You stole it. You didn't spend it on what it was supposed to be spent on. So Commerce, okay, we're going to put you on a payment plan to pay it back. Missed the first payment. They put him on a revised plan. They threatened to file suit. At the end of December, Martin won the Seattle Kraken's Hero of the Deep Award, according to his Instagram account. The award honors inspiring individuals who are doing outstanding work to transform lives, enable resiliency, and uplift and unite our community across the Pacific Northwest. So here he is, this guy who stole. I don't want to get sued. So who misspent a bunch of taxpayer funds, and then the Kraken and their just woke nonsense, which I'll talk about that after. They're like, oh, let's give him a Hero of the Deep Award. And he said at the time, quote, helping my community and trying to make a difference is core to my being. What's hard is that I ain't felt like a hero lately, Martin wrote on Instagram. I've failed a lot lately, learned some hard lessons, and have been back to the drawing board more than I'd like. But we not give up. We get more locked in. We continue to do right by people. And in the end, results will speak for themselves. Okay, you haven't done right by people. you should give up. You should give up. And you certainly shouldn't go back to the drawing board to try to get more government money. I just think it's fascinating. And I say, I love Kraken games, for the record. But man, I was at a Kraken game. The last one I went to was like Gay Pride Night or something. Mm-hmm. Which, why it was so random. Isn't that June? Like, is Pride Month? Why was it not in June? And I, you know, love gay people, love my gay friends. Talked about it earlier. Support all of that. I don't need it shoved down my face during a hockey game.
Right.
Like, just in general. Really, any issue like that. Everything was Pride. Every break, every little special thing they did, every jersey and all this, like, holy moly, this is overload. Well, so that's why I say, of course, they didn't even look into this guy. They're just like, oh, here's a guy. We don't care if he stole $330,000 and isn't paying it back. He's our Hero of the Deep.
They all just feel like money grabs now because they sold 100% jerseys that are rainbow colored. And even on military nights, I love them, but they all just feel like marketing ploys to sell more jerseys and camo and whatever. Yep. And I support obviously both of those groups, but you know, come on, it's just a marketing ploy and you're eaten right out of their hands.
Oh, I feel the same way about the military thing, because the military pays a lot of these. Mm-hmm. It's not true for every single sport and team, but with those big military appreciation nights for the NFL, the military, us taxpayers, pick up big checks. They see it as advertisements for recruitment. Mm-hmm. So it's not like out of the goodness of their heart, they're like, yay, military. So yeah, it all just seems very fake. And I'm just trying to watch the game. Like I said, yeah. I don't care what issue it is. Just like the climate stuff. Mm-hmm. Ah, the climate pledge. It's like, I get it. We all love the planet. Mm. But like, I don't need to hear about how much cubic rainwater is used for this and that. Like, let me watch them fight. I don't know. I just came to watch them fight. You know?
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. Homeless industrial complex. When are we going to wake up that it is not helping anybody and just wasting our money? Okay. Let's see here. We'll get to national news coming up next. An update on the NPR saga that perhaps will not come as a surprise to you guys. If you're thinking about selling your home in 2024, reach out to our friend Wes Jones. Sellwithwes.com. Even if you're waiting until the Fed drops interest rates, there's a lot you can do now to make sure that you can put your home on the market the second it's most advantageous. They have something called the Listing Boost Concierge Service, where if you need some cosmetic updates to your home, they can come in, manage those projects, pay for them up front, your home is ready to go, and then you can hit the market day one when the Fed drops interest rates. Now, Wes said, even though the Fed hasn't made good on its promise to drop interest rates so far, he finds it highly unlikely that they won't before the election. If they drop interest rates, that's going to be a nice little rush, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, we're having a rush right now. And when rates drop, you know, assuming that they do, it's going to pick up, you know, even more. And if you want to take advantage of that, it's probably a great time to start that conversation right now. You know, whether you want to sell in the later in the spring, sometime in the summer, or even the fall. If you want to sell in 2024, you know, we're here to start a conversation with you.
Yep. So go to sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Start by using their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. What's with all our sponsors being on vacation? Wes was just on a vacation. Zach Abraham is in Florida right now. Didn't invite us.
It's because it's spring break for everyone this month.
So everyone with kids.
Both of them have kids.
I'm going to have kids just so I can go on spring break.
Well, you're going to go without kids.
That's true. That's better. Good point. All right. Dipping outside of Washington State, Yuri Berliner has resigned from NPR. Not a surprise. If you have been following the trajectory of this, worked at NPR for 25 years, realized there was just this deep embedded bias, tried to fix it internally. When that didn't work, he did an article in the Free Press calling out NPR for all these failures and losing the trust of Americans and detailing where they went wrong and how he thinks that it could be fixed. So that article went crazy. NPR decided to suspend him for 5 days. That suspension came down last Friday, and he said he wasn't going to challenge it, even though he was a member of the NPR union. But again, this is not a surprise to me. He's now resigned. And I think that's the natural course of things. But one of the reasons he said he resigned is because it doesn't seem like they're interested at all in fixing the issues that he wrote the Free Press article about. He said, here's my resignation letter to the new NPR CEO. He said, I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I have worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. But I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my Free Press essay. And it's, I mean, that's totally spot on. They hire this new CEO at a time when their ratings are down, their trust among Americans is down, according to polling. And this new CEO has all these left-wing extremist opinions about Trump, using language like, oh, I benefit from white cisgender mobility something. And it's like, that's not even English. And then she comes in and kind of criticizes Yuri, and NPR insiders did as well, criticized Yuri for speaking out. It's like, this guy tried for years to get you guys in meetings to listen and to try to stop you from going downhill in a way where, you know, NPR's listenership is down and none of you listened. He does this article in the Free Press where he makes a lot of valid points. And instead of, as a publicly funded, what's supposed to be a news entity, instead of saying, you know what, you're right. You know, 87 of 87 of our editors in Washington, D.C. are Democrats. We could use a little bit of diversity of thought. Instead of saying that, They give him a 5-day suspension. The new CEO talks crap about him, and then he decides to resign. So now NPR has lost maybe one of the only people at NPR who actually understands what they're doing wrong and who understands that one of the ways to fix it is to bring in a diversity of thought. And you might think it's weird to hire people into a newsroom based on their political opinions, but I think we have to start doing that because everyone has a political bias. Every journalist I've ever worked with has a political bias. That's human nature. The question is whether you can set it aside to do what you're supposed to do. Can you set it aside to do the kind of journalism that needs to be done for the American people? And it's the people who can't set it aside that I think are dominating some of these institutional newsrooms. I mean, Yuri even said that he's sort of the prototypical NPR guy. You know, he's not some right-wing conservative, but he's clearly someone who looks at the job of a journalist with clarity and could see with clarity where they were falling short. And now they've lost him. And I hope that he still keeps doing what he's doing on another platform, maybe the Free Press. All right, let's see. Nicole put this article in here because she thought it was funny. And it is funny.
Funny and sad.
I think it's funny. I mean, it's sad, but it's just hilariousness, the levels of ridiculousness. So this is from the Carolina Journal. You might have seen this on social media. A kid was suspended for saying illegal alien in class.
Not calling someone that.
Oh, no, not calling them that. Just saying it as part of a question. So this is the Carolina Journal describes the whole ordeal like this. Leah McGee's son has a teacher who assigned vocabulary words during class last Tuesday, including the word alien. McGee says her son made an effort to understand the assignment and responded to his teacher saying, like, space aliens or illegal aliens without a green card? That's a good question.
That's a very astute question.
According to an email describing the incident sent to local officials and shared with Carolina Journal, a young man in class took offense to his question and repeatedly threatened to fight him. Of course he did, prompting the teacher to call in the assistant principal. Ultimately, his words were deemed by administrative staff to be offensive and disrespectful to classmates who are Hispanic. The kid says, I didn't make a statement directed toward anyone. I asked a question. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards, and the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary. 100%. Again, if you had a kid who's like, are you an illegal alien or making fun of some kid because he's Hispanic? And
bullying.
Like, then that's totally different.
Absolutely.
This is so unhinged. And the kid asked a good question. He was curious. Is it space aliens or illegal aliens? And yes, illegal aliens is an actual term. It is an actual phrase. So can we get out of the way, like maybe pull out a dictionary and tell kids, here's all the words in the dictionary you cannot ever utter in class.
Never mind the First Amendment, but whatever.
Well, I mean, you don't have, as students, unfettered First Amendment rights in a classroom.
Okay, but if you're going to pick out words, like it's context that makes it less First Amendment protected, not the actual word, right?
Yeah, I mean, freedom to speak, but not freedom from consequence. And you can't have a kid saying just about anything in class, right? They're going to get in trouble.
That would be a, you know, a sentence.
Right.
But words, yeah, words are words.
Well, but you can't say, a kid can't say the N-word in class and get away with it.
Oh, sure. That makes sense. Even in the dictionary? That's a derogatory
I'm sure it is.
Maybe. Anyway, but I think that it's ridiculous that it went through that many adults.
Oh, yeah.
And no one had the common sense to say, this kid did not mean any harm. It was a sincere question.
And I love how that's the kid who got jumped to, I'm going to fight you. Not like, hey, what do you mean by that? And then you could explain, no, I'm going to fight you. They're learning that from adults,
kid,
honestly.
Is that kid in trouble? Because he was threatening this kid. But
they learned that from adults. You know that, right? It's like... Because they probably see adults in their life freaking out and losing their mind when people say something that offends them, and then they learn it and they do it. So, poor kid.
Silliness.
Serve that suspension with pride. Okay? All right. We're going to get to questions and comments. You might note that I didn't do a show poll before the show today because I wanted to talk about the Dave Riker thing, and I'm going to send out a poll on the Dave Riker thing, but I wanted you to hear my opinion on it first. So, you'll get a post-show poll today. How does that sound? Isn't that exciting?
Sounds great, Brandy.
Thank you.
Sounds perfect for Wednesday.
That's great. Why not? You know?
Very enthusiastic about that idea.
I'm great. It was a great idea. All right. Listen, I lied to you. That's bull. We were really busy before the show. I didn't get one out. Okay. All right. All right. Is that what you want to hear? Is that what you want me to tell him?
No, I didn't want you to tell him anything.
I lied. Okay. I lied to you. We were really busy. We didn't have a cold open to the show. We were running late. We were trying to get things done. We had a computer issue. No show poll, okay?
No show poll, no cold open.
You'll get a deal. Show poll post show today.
It's a great solution.
Thank you. Sorry for lying to you. I was never going to lie to you. I was always going to come clean. Nicole, you're not on camera. You're
happy
there giggling
Wednesday.
Up
a I know. That's why storm. I'm not putting myself on
camera. All right. We're going to get to questions coming up next. We'll end the show with a sanity check and some advice I have for Sammy Bird. I think he ought to take a page out of the Eminem playbook, which I've talked about on the show quite a bit. I refer to Eminem's playbook often. Mm-hmm. All right. First, we talked to Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital about a headline that came out. So every year, Northwestern Mutual asks Americans, how much money do you need to retire comfortably? This year, they said 1.46 million, which is up 53% from 2020. So we asked Zach Abraham, how much do we read into that figure?
You know, an average number that we throw out there like that is complete nonsense. For some people, that number is 500,000. For some people, the number might be 3 million. We're talking about what it takes to fund you over a 25 to 30 year period of time. Truthfully, that bump 53%, it does not even begin to incorporate what the actual cost is extrapolated over a 25 year period of time. So,
right.
Like I said, you may need less. More than likely, you're probably going to need more.
Yeah. And honestly, it's so person to person. And so those numbers, they don't really mean anything. And the news can talk about them and put them in headlines, but you need to know how much you need to live the kind of retirement that you want. And you need to make sure your retirement is properly protected against risk. That's what Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in. So I suggest having a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach and his team. There is absolutely no obligation. They don't even let you invest with them at their first meeting. You only get one retirement. Don't risk it. Schedule your free risk review now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All right, let's see some questions. I saw some interesting ones. Somebody told me I was scripted. I'm not scripted. Okay, questions and comments.
They're just asking if you script your whole thing. And no.
I'm just free-wheeling.
Write it in your mind and roll
free-wheeling.
With it.
I got a lot of brain power here. You know, I don't have a prompter, if that's what you ask.
And you know,
no prompter.
And I will say, it's one of the things that makes me happy to work with you, because it's very much what Dory did, is that you sit before and you kind of come up with this whole thing in your head. And I think it's fantastic. And that's what makes you guys special.
Well, thank you.
Is being able to come with this like whole monologue that's just like right here.
Yeah.
Ready to roll.
We also don't pick stories that we're not really passionate about. So we're going to put stories in the show that I have strong opinions on, that I can sit there and bam, 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 with all of you about.
Right. I don't give you a list and say, here, talk about these things, Randy.
Yeah, you do. No, I mean, I'm just kidding. And then I'm a puppet, Nicole. That was you putting your hand up my bum to make me into a puppet.
Okay, don't give people visuals.
All right, anyway, Bill Biz with $20 Super Chat. The Northwest Community Bail Fund should simply rename as Far Left Activist Bail Fund. I'm certain it would be very interesting to learn who's funding it. Yeah, I guarantee a bunch of white 50-something progressive women in Seattle. Matthew Cook, Brandy, do you think this clip will for sure cost Riker the election? Look, I'll be honest. It's an unforced error. Ridiculous. I mean, even though that's his personal religious belief, and I think that's fine, he shouldn't have said it. He should have said, but I don't support winding that back. So complete unforced error. And Bob Ferguson will use it till the cows come home. So it's just a matter of how Dave Reichert's campaign responds to it. And also, if they can get voters to understand the nuance of things like that on abortion and on gay marriage. I mean, these things are so far past decided. And to me, and to Nicole, and to you guys, we see it for what it is. We see it as this huge distraction so they don't have to talk about their failures. I don't know whether other voters see that. I don't know whether moderate, swayable, persuadable Democrats and independents see that. I'd like to hear from you guys. How do you feel about it? Let me see. Kelly Dowell says, thank you for covering this. I couldn't agree with you more. Dave Reichert has no intention of overturning anything, not on abortion or marriage. Now, we need to be sure this correction clarification is put out for all to read. Now, what I would say is, even if he did have an intention, I mean, I wouldn't support his campaign, but he can't do that on his own. It's not possible. Do people not recognize that? He can't just do that. You can't just say, oh, you know that voter initiative that you guys put into law back in, what, 1970 on abortion? I'm just going to swipe my pen, undo it. It's not possible. So it's just fear-mongering on a variety of fronts. Mugshot Espresso, wonder what would happen if similar questions were asked of Muslim and atheist candidates? Yeah, I mean, you'd never, Bob Ferguson would never vilify a Muslim who wasn't in support of same-sex marriage. He would never vilify a Catholic Hispanic or a Black Protestant. He wouldn't do that. He sees safety in vilifying a white Christian for their religious beliefs, which again are fairly widespread, don't mean that they're political policy preferences, and beliefs that leading Democrats had up until like 10, 15 years ago. So it's not something you vilified Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton about for years and years and years, because those were their religious beliefs. And then they came around on the idea. And I don't know if Dave Reichert ever will come around on the idea. I don't care if he does, as long as he's not turning his religious belief into a political policy preference, which I have full confidence that he won't. Let's see. Y says, let's strive that Reichert is not going to force his personal religious and political beliefs on Washingtonians, but Ferguson will most definitely iron fist his political religious beliefs on us 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, how much stuff do lefties force on us? They have spent the past 10 years forcing their way of life, their policy preferences, their ideology on the rest of us, and we just have to sit and take it? But Dave Reichert can't have a religious belief that he's not going to foist upon anyone? So you just don't like him because he's Christian. You just don't like him because he's religious and he's white? I don't get it. It's so crazy to me. Rhonda Durham says, Dave needs to get out and meet people, more visible. I think that Dave's probably focused on the Republican endorsement at this juncture.
Yep.
And then after this weekend, I'm sure that it'll switch to...
He's activating. We're seeing him
more. I don't think that's really a fair critique anymore. I think at the beginning it was. I think he's been out at quite a few events. I think people want him to be boisterous and loud on social media. That's like what a lot of people view as an active campaign. And that's not, you don't win elections on social media. I said it, how many times have I said it? Carrie Lake would be the governor of Arizona and Lauren Culp would be the governor of Washington if you won elections on social media.
You don't always. I would say Trump kind of did, but.
No, I think Trump won elections by wall-to-wall media coverage of every single thing he did.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, that Reichert's missing. I keep hitting my mic today for some reason.
Crazy.
I think that Reichert is not getting the coverage that Ferguson gets because he's in an active political role now.
100%.
So that's why it feels like he doesn't get as much.
And the media's bias in Bob's favor.
Mm-hmm. And so. I think that Democrats want Semi Bird to be the candidate because he'll lose. And so that's what they're covering.
Yeah. We'll talk about Semi Bird in a moment. I've said I'm going to spend virtually no time going after Semi Bird. So this is going to be a nice segment. I'm going to spend my energy on Bob Ferguson. However,
we're not going after. It's just presenting.
Presenting. That's what we do. No free passes.
Yeah.
On gas, Rachel Cisneros says we need a huge billboard off I-5. Vote yes, pay less. Vote yes, pay. I agree.
We'll talk to our buddy. Brian.
Oh, yeah. Brian Haywood, you feel like paying for something else? And then also, can you make it like a...
Undivided.
Also undivided, like just, you know, help us out a little bit there. Because we looked into billboards, but we can't afford it. So we were like, oh, let's get a billboard. And then we found out how much it costs to get a billboard. And I was like...
Not yet.
Not yet. On the protesters, Weisscastle says, I still want to know why Buttigieg is not on the hook for doing something about blocked airports. What good is he if not that? Yeah. And you can't stop these things. I want to make that clear. You usually, unless the FBI is going to intercept some messages and then arrest people preemptively, you can't do that. So you can't stop it from happening, but the reaction to it, the response time to it, and also the punishments is what matters. And I would say our response times are too slow. The time it takes to get people off the road is too slow, at least in Washington, because they're all tap dancing around. Well, you know, we got to do this delicately and ask him 100 times to get off the road because that's what politicians expect of us. And then, you know, they get misdemeanors. So I really think we need to ramp it up. It needs to be a felony to block infrastructure.
But Pete could come out and say something.
Oh, yeah.
He could come out and say he doesn't support blocking airport entrances.
I mean, maybe he has. I don't follow Pete Buttigieg's every word.
Who knows?
On misspending of money intended for homeless at-risk youth. Greg says, and why is this dude not in jail? Oh, it must be a Democrat. Why isn't he in jail?
Yeah, I'm confused about that, too, because it kind of sounds like there was a lot of gift cards purchased. Like, the biggest chunk of the spending was on gift cards, and those gift cards are nowhere to be found. So that's
maybe so it's
that's
like maybe a they hard can't thing prove that prove. It was. But if he agreed, like, if you're expecting him to pay it back, and you've set up a payment plan and he's saying he's going to do that, that seems like an acknowledgement that he spent it on things he shouldn't have spent it on, right?
Yeah, and there was also that what he said he spent on the gift cards was not the actual dollar amount. So he said it was more and the gift cards were less. And yeah, there's a lot there. I hope they're not done investigating because it does sound pretty
And we
suspicious.
Need a full audit of our entire homelessness system and all of that. It's been years since one of those is done. It should be done every single year. Country guy says, now where did I put that $330,000? Dang, must have been in the pocket of those pants in the wash. Yeah, I just went away. I found a $50 bill in the wash the other day, and I was like, where did I get this $50 bill?
Wow.
But it came out, and it was fine.
Oh,
it was
I know where it was from.
Oh.
The casino.
No, it wasn't from the casino. I didn't gamble.
I know,
and I only got hundreds at the casino.
Oh, okay.
I took out money to gamble at the casino.
You got money to gamble, I knew.
I took out money to gamble at the casino when we, over this past weekend, we sponsored the Washington State Patrol Memorial Foundation, our Charity of the Year's annual gala. So we were there, and I was like, I'm going to gamble. I'm going to play blackjack. I got out a couple $100s, and then all the blackjack tables were full. And so then we just sat and listened to some old man play the piano and sing dirty songs like, I ain't saying she's a gold digger. And then get all sexual with it. I mean, he was like 90. It was really weird.
Yeah, Mike was really bummed. I felt bad for Mike. Mike really wanted to play.
He did. And he was like, I'm going to bed. Okay, good comments. We're going crazy today. So let's get to our closing sanity check, wherein I have a little bit of advice for Semi Bird. All right, so we know that Semi Bird has been haunted a little bit by things he's done, a lot of it, by things he's done in his past. And it has been a drip, drip, drip of criminal and civil issues that have come up. And one of the criticisms I've had of Semi is he always seems to have an excuse for it. You know, he was court-martialed like decades ago, which I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with, but then he lied about it when he was asked about it, said it was his cousin who was court-martialed, who has the same name, and it wasn't. So that was a huge red flag for me. And then he had, you know, a felony gun a charge or arrest, and he called that a misunderstanding. So there's just been all of these things. And he sort of excuses them. And now the Seattle Times this morning came out with yet another thing from Semi's past, this one pretty serious. And I just, you know, Nicole and I sent, we've been hearing these rumblings about some more things. And so we sent Semi Bird's campaign yesterday an email and just said, look, there's all this stuff coming out. Is there anything else? Tell us, is there anything else, criminal or civil, that might come out and you just want to fess up to now? Because this one from the Seattle Times, Washington governor candidate Semi Bird says no excuse for financial crime. So he pleaded guilty in 1993 to a misdemeanor count of bank larceny for lying on a credit application by using the name and social security number of his father. According to the previously unreported federal conviction, Bird, then 30 and living in Sunnyside, falsified a 1991 credit application with the intent to steal and purloin funds from U.S. Bank. Under the plea agreement, Bird, whose full name is Misipati Semi Bird, was sentenced to 2 years of probation and agreed to pay restitution and a fine. In an interview, he said he makes no excuses for the mistake decades ago. He says, guilty as charged, 100%, it was wrong. He said he was estranged from his father at the time and was bitter and angry and tried to justify his actions, but said ultimately there was no excuse. He said, there was a dark period of time when my irresponsibility shined through. Bird said, I'm a different man, I'm happy, I'm financially independent, I have perfect credit, I have a beautiful house. By the time his father died in 2013, Bird said the two had reconciled. But it's still a serious thing. And then you combine that with the gun thing and the lying about it. So it's a lot. But here's what I think Semi Bird needs to do, and really what he should have done from the beginning. If you're running for public office, this is good advice for anyone. Everything is going to come out, especially when you're running for an office as high as the governorship. Everything you've done is going to come out. To think otherwise is absurd. So you either have to decide preemptively, is it worth campaigning knowing that stuff is going to come out? And if you decide that it is, then you've got to pull a card, a page out of the Eminem playbook. I talk about it all the time. If you've seen Eminem's 8 Mile, anybody seen it? Remember, he's in the rap battles, right? He's in the rap battles, and he's in the final rap battle. And he's like, all freaked out. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, he goes first. He's like, I'm going to say rap about all the bad stuff about myself. So then by the time I'm done, that guy won't have anything left to say about me because I already said it. So if you're going to run a political campaign, especially one at that level, and you have some severe skeletons in your closet, the very best thing you can do is pull an M&M, let everyone know about them, and then run your campaign from there with a clean slate. And I think people would respect you a lot more for doing that. All right, that has been your sanity check for today, and that has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you. We will be back here on the live show tomorrow at noon. If you have not signed up to support our show already, and you're what, just leeching off the free episodes? Come on, guys, $5 a month. That's 1 gallon of gas. 1 gallon of gas. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com.